Brothers and sisters, welcome back to the Match Net podcast. I am excited to talk about this topic today because it's a question that I had frequently received recently, and most recently I was at a workshop and we did a Q&A live, and the number one most asked and upvoted question was about crushes, attraction, how to deal with infatuation, right? This is especially relevant for you folks who are preparing for matching and blessing, and you want to receive the blessing, and you want to give yourself 100% fully to your spouse, and you want to save yourself and your energy and your desires, and you don't want to be fooled by your emotions and your thoughts and feelings that you feel like might be coming from somewhere unhealthy, and you're wise and introspective and self-aware, and yet you're facing the reality that you are trying to deal with crushes and unwanted crushes, right? And so we're going to be talking about this. I think I've always downplayed this question when it came up, because my reality is so far removed from the time of my life that I experienced crushes, which I have, by the way, many times experienced crushes in my life. But that period of my life is so far removed from my current reality that I always felt like this is not my subject, this is not my topic, I can't really contribute to this conversation. However, I realized recently when I was doing this Q&A, that because I'm so removed from this reality, I have a very unique perspective on attraction. And because I am successfully, happily married and blessed, thankfully blessed, I think that I can provide context that is a bit unique and different, and hopefully you've never heard before, all right? Okay, so first of all, let's break down what crush is, all right? First of all, I don't think calling something a crush is healthy. Why? Because the word itself, crush, is usually used in sentences that make it blown out of proportion. And the way that many people talk about crushes is they say these words, my crush. Think about it like that. Especially in the English language, we don't experience this level of conversation any other language, I believe, other than English, to call something my crush. This person is my crush. First of all, who says they're your crush? And also, the fundamental emphasis on how big of a deal crushes are in people's lives, I think, is actually counterproductive. And let me say this, guys. I believe, after being married successfully and happily for many years, 15 years this year, and never experiencing crushes in my blessing after I was blessed, and dealing with the emotions of attraction before when I was single, I can confidently say that we don't need to emphasize crushes so much. We don't need to give power to them. Because the reality is, every form of infatuation or crush, whatever you want to call it, dies eventually. And everyone that's been through a crush that you felt like was never going to end and was just consuming your life eventually died out, because it is a fire that, if you let it die and stop stoking it, will kill itself off eventually, because every fire does if you just let it be, all right? So every crush can be eliminated, and you can create attraction and infatuation from nothing. So why does this make this conversation very important? Because if you stop emphasizing on my crush, I have a crush, what am I going to do about this crush, and stop emphasizing in that way, the reality is, if you just let it be, it will die itself off. And importantly, when you are finding your spouse in a committed eternal relationship inside the blessing, you can create infatuation and attraction from nothing and keep that fire stoked throughout your blessing. Let me tell you guys, when you are in a magic process, you might or might not experience attraction. Cool, good for you, good job. I don't think it's actually very productive of a conversation of, oh, I don't feel attracted to this person, therefore it's not meant to be. Because guess what? After you commit and everything's aligned and you feel God is in that relationship and you feel like you guys are aligned in a value-based system, right? You want to have a blessed family, you believe in God as your parents, you want to share this with the world. Guess what? Regardless of whether attraction is there or not, you will create attraction. Trust me, get a man and woman together, put them in the same room together, get them intimate, take their clothes off, you will create attraction. I promise you. All right, so you don't have to worry about, am I attracted to my spouse or I'm not attracted to my spouse? And then, my friends, you will find attraction, and then that attraction will die off over time, because it does. This is the nature of, guess what? Marriage. And as your marriage goes on, you will feel less attracted, and you have the opportunity, you have the choice to decide every day to wake up to become more in love with this person, more in love. Right now, as we're speaking, I am on a world tour with High Noon, and I'm in Prague, in a room in a hotel making this video, making this recording, all right? And so when I'm on this world tour, the degree of attraction and longing for my wife is through the roof. I want to be with her, right? And so in a sense, the daily life of just living is an opportunity to create attraction and this desire to be with one another and longing and just to be in love with each other. And it's more of a deliberate decision day by day than it is just something that magically happens, like you have chemistry or you don't have chemistry, all right? And so this is all to say, I don't think we should be emphasizing attraction and crushes so much anymore, at all. You can if you want to, my friends. It's your prerogative. You can do whatever you want. It's okay, whatever. But we're talking about the blessing here. We're not talking about regular old traditional marriage. We're not talking about regular old dating, going around, checking people out, seeing who makes me happy. That's not what you guys are here for. You're here because you want to do what's best for God, Heavenly Parent. You want to do what's best for your lineage, and you want to do best for what's best for your children. All right? And you want to do best. You want to do good by God and by true parents. And you feel that and you know that, then my gosh, guys, we don't have to be thinking in the realm of anybody that's thinking outside of the blessing. We don't have to. It's a different conversation because you're committing to eternity. You're committing to lineage. You're committing to an absolute heavenly sexual relationship, all right? You're committing to passing on this beautiful tradition of blessing to your children and teaching them important things. And if that's you, then this is a different conversation, all right? And I'm bringing this up. Why? Because I'm here to protect your headspace, your mental real estate, your bandwidth, your time, your attention, your focus. And there is a ridiculous amount of time and energy that's going towards attraction and infatuation. Do I feel attracted to this person? My crush is like this. I'm crushing on this person. Is this God giving me this crush? Or is this just me? I don't know what to do, right? I get it. Trust me. Don't worry. I grew up in this world. I understand. But don't be fooled to believe that that is all that matters, is attraction. That is what is going to be the silver bullet in your relationship to make or break your blessing. That's not it. You will create attraction and infatuation and genuine love in your marriage if you want to. And you will be suffocating from real, genuine connection and attraction if you let it be. And it's all up to you. That's all I'm saying. Am I saying it's not important? No. I'm saying that you don't have to let, do I feel attracted to this person, or I feel attracted to that person, or I'm crushing on this person, dictate how you live your life. The important question is, if you're experiencing crushes, is, by the way, what is this crush, this feeling, telling you about you? What is this infatuation telling you about you? What are those moments that you tend to infatuate or fantasize about this individual? And if you're really keen and aware, you'll notice that it tends to be times when you're feeling alone. It tends to be times when you're feeling stressed or anxious or just wanting to escape. And infatuation becomes the ultimate form of escapism for you. Yeah? For some people, it's food. For some people, it's porn. For some people, it's, you know, anger. For some people, it's going to Instagram. For some people, it is going to the fantasy of this infatuation, all right? And so if that's you, beautiful, good for you. You are a godly person that God gave you desire for a reason, right? However, not okay to just ignore the reasons as to why you keep going back to this realm, this fantasy, whatever it is, why you keep stoking this fire. When I say stoking the fire, I mean you consistently think about, interact with, or in some way make up some kind of lie, perhaps, or fantasy in your mind that keeps this fire going. Because every fire, every crush, guys, is going to die out. It's not like you're going to be crushing on them your entire life. Like, come on. It's going to die out if you let it. So let it. And then let yourself decide with clarity, my friends, how to move forward. I've talked recently with brothers. We're like, oh, I'm crushing on the sister, right? And it's making it really hard. And then you'll notice when I talk with people about their infatuations, they very, very quickly go off into some fantasy about like, oh yeah, she also likes me. I'm like, wait, what? Says who? Did she tell you that? No. It's like, how do you know? And it's like people are making reasons as to why they should keep this alive and why it's reasonable and justified. Let me tell you guys, you're keeping this attraction alive because part of you wants to. Part of you wants to escape. Part of you wants to feel something because it numbs something in you. Part of you wants to keep porn and masturbation in your life, right? You do. Of course, if I asked a sane person that feels full of love and you're just at a workshop, what do you want with your life? Do you want to keep porn and masturbation in your life? Do you want to keep this crush in your life? Of course, if I ask that clear individual that has clarity and sincerity and is feeling love and connected with God, if I ask that version of you, do you want to keep this in your life? What would you say? No, absolutely not. No way, Jose. But if I asked the individual you that is struggling with your faith, that is low and depressed, that is experiencing all of the host of difficult emotions such as depression, anxiety, stress, boredom, loneliness, in those moments where you've spent an entire day binge watching YouTube or Netflix or whatever, and as that person, you have an option between letting this crush go, letting this attraction go, letting porn masturbation go, letting whatever vice you have go, or living a life with integrity with in accordance with how you want to be. If I ask that version of you that's really suffering, that person would say, actually, don't think I want to give this up. Let's be real. There's a part of you that likes stoking this fire, and that's why it's here. And so you, my friend, at this point, have to just make hard rules for yourself, hard lines in your life. And those hard lines come in many different forms depending on what your situation is. But you know what you need to do. If someone is struggling with alcoholism, if someone's struggling with drinking, for example, the hard rule is you just don't go to bars. You don't play, you don't dance with the devil and say, you know what, going to the bars and just socializing, that's what it's about. All my friends, my coworkers are going to the bars, so I'm gonna go and just hang out and drink some water. You're dancing with devil, man. You're rolling the dice, my friend, and you're gonna be going down the path of no return very soon. If you're struggling with your sexual integrity and porn and masturbation and you're saying, you know what, I'm just gonna go on Instagram and it's not that harmless. Instagram's not that harmless, right? But did you know the algorithm is designed to keep you there as long as possible? Interesting, did you know that? Did you know that Meta and Google are corporations that their number one priority is profits, understandably, right? Is it your mental health that they care about? No. That is not their number one priority. It's like maybe four or five. But number one for them is what? Profits. How do I know this? Because if their number one priority was your mental health and your well-being and your integrity and your values, what they would do is that they would remind you kindly if you've been on Instagram for 2 hours, on YouTube for 2 hours, on Reddit for 2 hours. They would say, hey, looks like you've been consuming a lot of reels. You've been scrolling for a while. Why don't you take a break? That's what they would do if they cared as their number one priority about your well-being. But it's not. In fact, they do the opposite, which is to keep you enticed as long as humanly possible so that advertisers can pay them more for your eyeballs so that they can make profits, guys. I'm not here to bash big tech, by the way. I'm not here to bash social media. I'm here to help illuminate the fact that all the reasons that you believe or think that something is justifiable is not. Because if you're struggling with any form of distortion of attraction, distortion of sex, then you need to get off those platforms because you are just a recovering alcoholic that's going to the bars and saying, I'm just gonna drink water and socialize. That's what you're doing. Because those platforms are feeding a narrative deeply in your soul that this is what attraction is. This is what is real. This is what true love looks like. It's blatantly obvious, my friends. And I get it. I understand why they do it. Because that stuff is attractive as heck. That stuff really reels you in. I guess that's what they call them, reels. They reel you in like a fish on a hook, my friend. They bait you like crazy and make you madly in love with whatever you feel like this is gonna resolve for you. But that stuff's not real. Stuff is not real, not remotely real. And they have you fooled to believe that this is educational, this is healthy, this is my stress relief, this is socializing, this is connecting, I'm getting updates from my friends and seeing how they're doing, right? Facebook, Instagram, etc. YouTube keeps you on because it's educational and you get your educational content. You get to watch the news and follow what is going on in the world, right? Sure. maybe like 5% of the time, let's be real, 95% of the time, 80% of the time, it's just mindless entertainment, to be real, right? It's just scrolling. And so why am I saying all this? It's not to bash big tech. It's not to bash you. It's not to shame anyone. It's just to illuminate the fact that you got to identify what your hard lines are, what your rules are, and you just don't cross them. There's no gray lines anymore. There's no drinking at the bar, water, and socializing anymore. There's no goofing around on social media anymore. There's not. You make hard lines for yourself. My hard lines are pretty clear for me. I gave up Instagram and YouTube over a year ago. The very beginning of 2024, I said, you know what? I don't want any of this anymore. And I haven't gone back. I don't need it. But, yeah, I know. I know all the voices that come back. But, I need to do this sometimes. Yeah, sure. I need to make content. Sometimes I post content. Yeah, so do I. That doesn't mean that I need to scroll ever. But sometimes it's good to watch videos and learn things on the internet. Yeah, absolutely. So what I do is I go to Google, search in the search bar, how to do XYZ, search for the video, and I jump off. That's it. Simple as pie. And so make hard rules for yourself. I'm not saying that you have to follow those rules, but you make hard rules for yourself. Like this time of the day, or this in the evening, I don't use my phone at all, right? Or regarding attraction and a crush, it's like, I do not integrate or interact with the opposite gender in this kind of way. I only interact with them like this. For example, another brother I know, his rule is I don't interact with sisters on a one-on-one messaging basis, unless it's absolutely necessary for logistical purposes. I don't have emotional deep messaging with others. I only do it in group settings, for example, right? Another hard rule you could say that I made for myself when I was a teenager, when I was preparing for the blessing, my hard rule was I only make friends of the opposite gender that are older than me and already blessed. Ooh, this is a question that I just got at the workshop. It's like, isn't it important to have friends of the opposite gender so that we can learn from them? That's a good question, right? Isn't it important to prepare for marriage through having friends of the opposite gender, close friends? And my answer was, yes, it's important. But why does that person have to be of the same general age as you and single? Right? And my point being, like, why can't you make friends of the opposite gender that are older than you, slightly older than you, and already happily blessed? Those can be the most beautiful relationships you ever have. My own close friends I had that were female were all blessed and older than me growing up, right? Very few of them, but I treasured those relationships because I learned what it's like to interact, and I got to see them interact with their husband. It's like, oh, that's what a couple's like, yeah? But we like to fool ourselves and say, oh, you know, it's really important that I have this friend of the opposite gender because I'm learning how to be a brother. I'm learning how to be a sister of the opposite gender. It's really important blessing preparation, right? As we tell ourselves, okay, sure. But be honest with yourself, be truthful with yourself. What's the real reason? That's all I'm asking you guys to do, right? And so, in conclusion, what are we saying here? I think that infatuation is what I'm gonna call it. I don't like the word crushes. It just sounds like high school. It just sounds like a high school word. And the way that we use it in our own like mental lexicon in English is very like high schoolish. I'm gonna call it infatuation. I think infatuation is blown out of proportion. I think it receives too much attention. And the reality is that you can create attraction from nothing and simultaneously, on the flip side, you can let infatuation die by itself if you just stop stoking the fire. And I think that people that are struggling, really, really struggling with crushes, guys, I get it. Like, don't think I don't understand this stuff. I'm a human, I'm a dude, right? I've been through all the workshops and programs and spent a lot of time with sisters of the, you know, so I get it, but there's a reason that you're stoking the fire and you just have to decide hard rules and don't beat yourself up about it. Like, I think that's really the hard part that people are facing is that they feel things that they don't want to feel and they're stoking the fire, right? Because they feel some sort of validation from this interaction or this relationship. But the hard part is that you're beating yourself up about it and you're feeling shameful about it. You're feeling it's turning into a shadow where in reality it can just be a part of attraction. It could just be part of the life that you're experiencing right now. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. And so if you're experiencing that level of shadow or shame in your life, the fastest way to eliminate a shadow is what? You cast light. You shed light to cast the shadow out of the way. You shed light You shed light. What does that mean? Bring it out. Bring it to the open. Report it. Talk to your parent. Usually share it with somebody that is of mature status, that is going to love you and give you grace and see you and give you a hug, right? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. And you share about it. You be honest, because that's the first step, my friends, of saying no. That's the first step of creating a hard rule for yourself, of a sand, a line in the sand that says, no more, this is not the person I want to be anymore. I don't want to be this. And when you find your spouse, my friend, you will be able to have all the attention and energy to give to this one person. And that's the beauty of that period of your matching process and blessing, is when you do find that person, you will free up all of this excess energy that you've been storing, that you've been utilizing, thinking about others, looking around for who's my spouse going to be, right? Attraction, giving your infatuation away. And now you're like, okay, I'm going to take all of that, siphon it all, and I'm going to give it to my spouse. I'm going to focus. And you do that day in and day out for the rest of your life in eternity, and that is what the blessing is. You just give it. You just give it. And don't worry about, oh, this is a question that came up a lot. It's like, well, I feel like I'm afraid when I'm in a relationship that I'm going to have a lot of crushes again, right? You might. You might. You might not. It's entirely up to you. I don't think it's worth worrying about, personally. Number one, because I've seen a lot of couples go through the process of matching and blessing, and it's not something that comes up very much, is people being attracted to others. It does sometimes, but it's not a huge, huge thing. And so statistically thinking, I think that you're in a period of your life right now where you're trying to figure out, like, who is my eternal partner? And because of that impetus, you're giving your kind of sexual energy and attraction and infatuation to maybe a lot of people, or a few people, but very deeply. And once you find your partner, that's gonna all disappear. All right, I think that's what's gonna happen. And secondly, if it does happen that you experience attraction to someone else outside of your blessing, right, after you're blessed, then guess what? There's another beautiful opportunity to shed light, to release the shadows, to receive grace, to talk about it, to grow ultimately, and as a couple become stronger and use that attention you're giving to give to your spouse. Because even if that happened, let's say that's the worst case, right? Even if that happened, you're still worthy of God. You're still worthy of God. And you'll have an opportunity to grow together as a couple. You have an opportunity to learn from this. And importantly, learn what is it that you're running from? What is it that you're seeking? What is it you're trying to go towards? And it's always connection, my friends. Porn, masturbation, crushes, whatever it is, guys. Social media use, Instagram. It's connection you're seeking. It's deep connection, real connection, non-artificial connection is what you're seeking. And that can only come from God. It can only come from God. It can only come from the source of love. And so keep seeking that out. Don't vilify, demonize yourself and say, oh, I'm terrible for doing this XYZ behavior. Understand, like, oh, I'm seeking connection, deep connection. And it's not providing, porn isn't providing that connection. The crush is not providing the connection, which is why you keep seeking out more and more and more of it, more of the validation, more of the interactions, more of the touch points, right? Because it tries to fill a void that's just not filling. And so don't demonize that, but recognize that you're trying to seek connection and go towards that connection, real connection. Go towards God. Go towards your parents. Go towards real people that are actually going to be with you. Standing side by side, that aren't trying to receive, people that are not trying to get from you, but they only want to give. They only exist to give to you. Find those people and hold on to them, guys. And ultimately, you're worthy of love. You're worthy of God. God loves you so dearly that you have no idea. The fact that you exist, that you're alive, that you're part of this world, that you're part of your family, even though it's not perfect. Gosh, world's not perfect. Family's not perfect. Your parents aren't perfect. You're not perfect. But guess what? That's okay, because that's part of the process that God created. And God loves you so, so dearly. You are loved so dearly, even though you might make mistakes. Even though that you tell yourself things about yourself. Even though you don't see yourself in a healthy light. even though maybe you want to, even though you tell yourself lies about yourself, you feel unworthy, you feel like you're failing. Gosh, I know. You feel like you're failing, you're a failure, you're unworthy, you're doing everything wrong, you're bad, you're a selfish person. Yeah? If you feel like that, bring that up. Point your finger out and say, I feel this way, but that's not who I am, though. This is not who you are. You're worthy of God. You're worthy of everything. All right? I say that, and it's like, I don't know. The way I'm saying it right now feels just, I don't know. I don't know if you guys are understanding what I'm saying. Anyways, watch this episode again. Re-listen to it if you need it. And just know that you are exactly in the right place that you should be. And I want to give you guys the peace of mind that if you're able to be a little bit self-aware and observe yourself in your thoughts and your feelings and decide, I want to be this way, right? Let's say that you have these interactions with this person you're infatuated with. And think about it like this. How do you want to feel? Identify how you don't want to feel, first of all. Identify how you don't want to feel. And then practice, rehearse in your mind. How do I want to feel? And then go towards that, and that becomes your new practice. How do I want to feel? Well, I want to feel absolutely like every single person is a beautiful son or daughter of God. Absolutely every single person is attractive and beautiful in their own right. Yeah? And I want to be able to give my fullness of my attraction, infatuation to my spouse and finding that person. I want to find that person. And I want to give everything to finding that person. And when I find that person, I want to give, like, how do you want to feel? Instead of the way you don't want to feel, don't focus on the way you don't want to feel too much. Identify it. Have it in the background of your mind. Be able to pull it out of your back pocket anytime you need to. But don't obsess over how you don't want to feel, because we're really good at that. You're really good at feeling, oh, I have to stop feeling like this. I'm so terrible. I know you're good at it. Maybe you have to stop it and identify, okay, how do I want to feel? How do I actually want to be? And I ask this question importantly because you can decide every day how you want to be. Tomorrow you can wake up and you can be exactly who you want to be, how you want to be, and how you want to feel. Having something or doing things are all external forms of who you are as a person. But you can be anything you want tomorrow. You can be loving, you can be happy, you can be joyful, you can be excited, you can be thriving, you can be passionate, you can be anything. It's just a practice in deciding. It's more of a decision than it is just some magical thing that happens. You just wake up and say, today I'm gonna be this. You just practice being that. And you will be tested, because there will be circumstances and things happen in your life that test you being that thing. Let's say you want to be a loving person to your future spouse, to your parents, to whoever is in your life. I want to be loving, unconditionally loving. And they will test you. And the practice is, even though external circumstances come my way and I'm tested, I will decide to be loving. And that is what it takes. You can be anything you want tomorrow. If you want to stop feeling infatuated with a specific individual and feeling shameful about it, decide to be in love with yourself. Ooh, imagine that. Imagine being in love with yourself. Not in an infatuated type of way, not like an arrogant, I'm the best type of way, self-indulgent. I mean, imagine feeling just all the time like I'm a good person and I'm loved. And everything's gonna be all right. And I'm struggling and I make mistakes, but I'm gonna get back up and I'm loved and I'm awesome. I don't know, whatever it is, guys, just be that. And that's life unfolding, guys. All right, let me know if you guys have any questions or follow up to this. You can email me or DM me. either one is fine. And lots of love to you guys. Bye.